White System and tune in to the Pearl White System at RadioArian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 28th of December, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Well, we've reached the final episode of our look back at 2018, and I do apologise if my voice sounds a little bit dry. I seem to have a bit of a cold coming on, also talking for so long. I'm used to doing half-hour podcasts, not four in a row, but we've just got to August now. And in August, we've heard the shocking news that school exam pass marks have now dropped to 17% in Britain. All you need to pass an exam in modern-day Britain is 17%. That's all you need to get in the exam. Back when I went to school, that would have got an F. It certainly wouldn't have got a pass mark. And the reason for this is because, obviously, because of all the immigration. If you have Negroes with an average IQ of 70, and you have white people who used to have an average IQ of 110, that's now been brought down to 100 in Britain because of the immigration. In order to have blacks getting the same pass marks, the same amount of them passing as whites, then you have to drop the pass mark down. And that's why the pass mark has dropped to 17%. Because otherwise they would say whites are passing exams and blacks aren't passing them. It must be racism that's causing this. So because of immigration, our standards of education are now getting lower and lower and lower every year. There was a time, before we had immigration, that our education standards increased every year. And now they drop. Another side effect of all the immigration is obviously the rise in crime. And in August, we had a novel suggestion for a way to bring down the numbers of blacks in prisons. And that suggestion was to allow black criminals to become magistrates. Because the idea is that if you have a white magistrate, he somehow has an unconscious bias against Negroes, and he's more likely to send the Negro to prison than let him off. Which is quite patently untrue. Because all we seem to hear from these judges is them going leniently on Negroes. I mean, they've also been told that they should bear in mind that if they have a black person in the dock and he's found guilty of a crime, they should bear in mind the fact that he may have been the victim of racism in the past, and that may have affected him and encouraged him to take up a life of crime. Of course, that's completely destroyed by looking at Africa, where there is no racism, where there is no law either, where they have a massive crime rate, hideous crimes that go on over there. And I think linked in with this call to have black criminals become magistrates is also the fact that we now have so many blacks on the jury and so many Muslims on the jury that they're actually letting people off that should have been prosecuted. Don't forget, last week we had the jihadi swordsman who attacked three police officers while yelling out Allah Akbar, and had left a suicide note, the same as a suicide bomber, and he was let off. He was allowed to walk free. And I'm guessing that's because there was a majority of non-whites in the jury. And now what they're calling for is for blacks and non-whites to become magistrates and judges. But of course, because so many blacks have actually got criminal records, they're barred from becoming police or becoming magistrates. So these calls that actually came from the chief magistrate were to allow black criminals to become magistrates, not to lower the bar slightly for the requirements, not to have a quota for blacks, but actually to allow black criminals to become magistrates. So you actually, in actual effect, you have criminals judging criminals. These are the novel ideas that the anti-racists come up with for solving the biological problem, because they see it as a problem, that blacks have different outcomes, different life outcomes to whites. Yet it's quite obvious, I think, to anyone that isn't brainwashed, that black is different to white. And if somebody is black, if somebody is of a different race to whites, you wouldn't expect them to have the same outcome as whites anyway. It's not like the only difference is the colour of the skin. There are vast differences between the black race and the white race. The colour of the skin is just superficial. In September, we had another example of the way blacks differ from whites, when we saw Serena Williams, the tennis champ, deciding she was going to stand up for women's rights by refusing to obey the umpire, throwing a temper tantrum, and smashing her racket into pieces. I would have found this quite intimidating if I'd been the umpire, or if I'd been playing tennis against her, but she literally chimped out during this match. And it was portrayed as if she was somehow in the right for doing this. If this had been a white man that had a temper tantrum like this, they would never have been able to take part in sport again. But because this was a black female, excuses were made for it, and she claimed that she was standing up for feminism. And apparently it was misogynistic of the umpire to find her guilty of coaching, which is what she was doing. She was coaching another player, which is against the rules. Serena Williams doesn't seem to think that she should have to obey the rules. And really, Negroes don't have any understanding of why they should obey rules in the first place. And the proof of that is the fact that they never came up with a system of law. They may claim they understand why they should obey the rules or why they should obey the law, but they quite clearly don't, or else they naturally would have come up with a system of law. All you have to do to see these things, to see the truth of things, is just to look at the bigger picture, look at history. It's like when I say that they're not capable of imagining abstract ideas. You just have to look at their language to see the proof of that. And when they tell us that things like Somali kids biting chunks out of a white baby is quite natural behaviour for them, we should believe them that it's their natural behaviour, because that's what we see them doing when they're out in the wilds. We have this crazy idea that just because something walks on two legs, it must be exactly the same as us. It's not. The races are all entirely different from one another. And it's causing the biggest drain on resources that we've got on trying to create equal outcomes in multicultural countries for these non-white races. In October, there was a study done which proved a bias against men in physics. And I thought this was fantastic to see this. This professor had been invited to a conference on gender representation in physics, and they were all expecting him to speak about how there's this bias against women because there aren't enough women involved in physics. And he'd actually done a study which showed that females are not as good as males at physics, and that they are being given jobs, they're being given positions that they don't deserve. And in actual fact, men who are higher qualified, who have more papers published, are being passed over so that women can be given these jobs, so that they can say, oh, well, we've got more women in physics. And he proved this with a study, and he showed that he himself had had his papers quoted X number of times, and he was passed over so that a female could be given the job, and he himself had his papers quoted more than 10 times as many times. I think she'd had her papers quoted about 100 times, and he'd had his papers quoted about 1,000 times. So he was 10 times more qualified for the position, and he was passed over so that they could have a woman in there in physics. Of course, there were calls for him to step down, and the CERN laboratory, who it was that were putting the conference on, apologised. But these are just facts. His study proved that what he was talking about was right, but because it's not politically correct to say that, there was uproar. Also, in October, we had surprising news from Brazil. Very surprising news from Brazil. The news was that Bolsonaro, the far-right white candidate, was elected as president. And of course, Brazil is one of the most violent countries in the world because it's completely miscegenated. The majority of the people there are a mix of white, red Indian, and Negro. And Bolsonaro is from, he's from Europe. I think he's from Italy, somewhere like that. And he was elected on a platform to get rid of corruption, get rid of immorality. He's spoken out against race mixing. He's said that he doesn't want his family to have a black wife or a black husband. He's spoken out against homosexuality. He was totally slandered in the mainstream media. A leftist stabbed him during the election campaign, and he was elected. He's due to be sworn in January. He's already spoken out against the invasion of Europe, and hopefully we're going to see some really good things from Bolsonaro in the new year. So that was a real surprise and a real uplift, I think, in October. Also in October, the BBC admitted that 20% of their staff are homosexual. But they pledged to do more to include lesbians because they didn't think they had enough lesbians. And they also had a massive number of transsexuals working there. I think it was about 500 transsexuals. The BBC is just filled with degeneracy. It's filled with homosexuals, transsexuals, far more than their percentage of the population. And yet they're still demanding that they have more diversity, they do more to include minorities, and they're actually full of far more minorities than their representation in the population. The BBC just gets worse and worse. I mean, you think it's bad having a female as Doctor Who. I mean, who knows what else they're going to come up with in 2019. We also had more good news from Donald Trump in October when he stood up and said, I am a nationalist. And he pointed out that what's wrong with wanting to put your country first? Why would anyone not like somebody putting their country first? This is something that I just don't understand. Nationalists put their nation first. That means if somebody is a nationalist, they put your interests first. Blacks keep saying they want to see more black representation. They want to see people that look like them on the television. And that's the reason why, because they know that blacks will be putting other blacks' interests first. Why can't whites see that? Why can't whites understand that? That somebody who claims to be a nationalist is going to be putting your interests first, nobody else. I mean, what we're seeing happen in France at the moment, this is because Macron said, I'm a globalist. The French don't want a globalist politician. They want somebody that's going to be putting France first, not somebody that's going to be putting all the other countries first. So by Trump saying that he was a nationalist, I mean, that was fantastic to actually hear that. And it was a big, it means that they can't turn nationalist into a dirty word like they have Nazi and fascist, because the leader of the free world now says that he is a nationalist. That means that he is part of the same group that we ethno-nationalists are. Whether you're a civic nationalist or whether you're an ethno-nationalist, we're all nationalists. We all believe in putting the nation first. Whether you believe that the nation is made up of the people that live in that country, or whether you believe that the nation is made up of the people that have a shared blood and a shared heritage, it's still the same thing. Because if you are standing up for the people with a shared blood and a shared heritage, you are standing up for the territory that they occupy. And the civic nationalists, they're standing up for the territory that the civic nation occupies as well. So essentially, ethno-nationalists and civic nationalists share at least half of their goals in looking out for the country. And most of the time, it's a lot more goals than just that, because obviously, if you're a civic nationalist, you don't want immigration, you don't want Islamization, and you just want people that can assimilate. And as we know, non-whites cannot assimilate to being white. It's not possible for them to do that. Otherwise, their countries would be to the same standard of civilization that we have, and they're not. Also in October, that was when the most recent national action trial began, where the cosplay Nazis were exhibited to the world. Shock, horror, there was a family that liked to dress up as the Ku Klux Klan. They used to have swastika scatter cushions and swastika pastry cutters. And instead of seeing this as, well, they're fantasists, obviously, instead of seeing that as evidence of them being fantasists, everything that they put into comments in a chat room was taken literally, absolutely literally, despite all the evidence to the contrary, that apparently wasn't even brought up by the defense, the fact that this actually showed that they were fantasists and going to be carrying this out. None of that was actually brought up. But anyway, I've gone so much into that that trial that I'll leave that for here. But that was when the trial actually started in October, and it's just finished now in December. Think how much money that cost in order to put those people in prison, who really, I doubt very much whether they were a threat to the British public at all. Don't forget that there was no evidence of them even putting any stickers up since National Action was disbanded. This was all just comments in a chat room. And it's cost an absolute fortune to send them to prison. But one man who was very pleased to be freed from prison in November was Jez Turner, another political prisoner that was jailed for giving a speech at a Shomrim demonstration. A demonstration against the Jewish police force. Yes, the Jews do have their own police force. Nobody else does. White people aren't allowed to have their own white police force. But Jez Turner was jailed for speaking out against them and for highlighting crimes that the Jews have carried out against the British people over the last 200 years, and for pointing out their undue influence in politics and in the media. Everything that he pointed out was verifiable facts, but the fact that he pointed this out through a megaphone in public is apparently the reason why he had to be jailed. He was jailed, I guess, for inciting racial hatred against Jews, but the fact was it was just Jez there with a megaphone and about 1,000 Jews that were all screaming for his blood. It was the Jews that were inciting racial hatred against Jez. That's the truth of it. But he was still jailed anyway, and now he's been let out. I do believe he's probably under some kind of probationary agreement where he doesn't speak to nationalists, otherwise we would have heard something from him by now. Also in November, we heard for the first time about Brett Kavanaugh, a man who we'd never heard of before, but because Donald Trump nominated him to become a judge, the whole of the left suddenly went wild, accusing him of all sorts, and basically really dredging the bottom of the barrel and accusing him of forcing himself on a girl back at school 20 years ago. The girl in question, when she was actually questioned, couldn't actually come out with any proof of this actually happening. And what it really did was highlight how hysterical the left have become, and how they will do literally anything to try and keep anybody slightly right-wing from getting any power in the establishment. Apparently, since Brett Kavanaugh was sworn in, we had hoped that because he'd seen this vicious side to the left, that he might move to the right. Apparently, he hasn't done. Apparently, he's signed off on something to do with abortion, which is pro-abortion, which shows that really it doesn't look like he's learnt his lesson of what the left are truly like. Also in November, we had the midterm elections, where, if you believe the mainstream media, Donald Trump did absolutely terribly. If you believe Donald Trump, Trump did very well indeed. He actually did better than Obama, and he did better than George Bush. But he did lose the majority that he had in Congress, which, of course, is why he's now having problems getting that bill through, getting the spending money through for his wall. Because there's a majority against him in Congress now, it's going to make it all that much harder for him to get the money to get him to sign off for this money so that he can finally build the wall. And he does have to build that wall. That was the promise that was made to the American public. That's why he was voted in. The fact that Democrats won't sign that money off really shows how they're trying to frustrate the will of the public, which is exactly what's happening in Britain, where Labour and the Conservatives are both trying to frustrate the will of the public by trying to force through May's backroom deal with the European Union. And it is a backroom deal. That deal that she's made, that wasn't arranged by the Brexit secretary. Two of the Brexit secretaries have resigned because May did this deal behind their backs. And it was in November that the deal was finally made public. Earlier than that, she'd revealed it in Chequers, and that was when we had the first lot of resignations. And then it was made public in November, and we had another lot of resignations, and it was supposed to be voted on last week, May's deal. And of course, she delayed it. She pushed it forward through until January, when there won't be any time at all to make any changes to the deal before we're supposed to be leaving in March. She's really called Parliament's bluff in all of this. She is counting on people voting for her bill because there won't be enough time to make any more changes to it, and if they don't vote on it, then it will have to be no deal, or, and this is probably what she's hoping, is they might suggest that there will be another referendum. But it really shows you the disrespect she has for Parliament and the contempt she has for the British people to put this vote back until January in the hopes that that will happen. Hopefully, she would have riled the rest of the government up enough so that they will just reject the deal as a proxy for rejecting her. Also in November, we heard that transgenderism is linked to autism. We heard that up to a fifth of people claiming to be transgender actually had autism, were diagnosed with autism. We also heard about how one school had 17 people claiming to be transgender in it. And that all started with one person claiming to be transgender, and then all these others copied that one person, and all the people that copied that one person were all autistic. And we also learned that if a doctor then suggests to somebody that actually it may be autism and not gender dysphoria, we also learned that that could mean that the doctor will be struck off for not affirming the transgender identity. The really shocking thing about this is that so many people with autism are now claiming to be transgender, and instead of getting treatment for their autism, they may end up being mutilated and cutting their genitals off, and then discovering later on that, well, actually, I didn't have transgenderism. Actually, I had autism. And by that time, nothing can be done about it. They can't be repaired, and their lives are ruined. And this is all because of this transgender lobby that just care about themselves and nobody else, and are forcing this on the general public. And a couple of weeks later, we also heard about this young lad in America, 6 years old, whose father says that he's a boy. He likes to be called by a boy's name. He likes to do boy things. He likes to play football and everything else. But the mother says that the little boy is a transgender. And the little boy has been taken from his father, has been placed with the mother. The mother has started him on a course of hormones and is intending for him to be castrated when he gets to 8 years old. And the father is being forced to pay for this. Absolute insanity. That was probably the second most shocking news story that I heard this year. The first most shocking news story was the young white baby that had been practically eaten alive by Somalian juveniles. That really did shock me, but this one really shocked me as well, and my heart really goes out to the father, and I hope he has success in preventing that from being done to his son, because that has to be every father's worst nightmare, that would be done to their son. But in order to finish on something positive for the year, back in November we also had the Yellow Vest protests begin in France, which we were told was about fuel prices. But it rapidly stopped being about fuel prices and became about forcing Macron to resign. We're now into the sixth week of the protests. They've stopped for Christmas. And I do expect that there will be an increase of them again in January, because it doesn't look like they're going to back down. Also, because Belgium signed the Marrakesh deal, the United Nations Immigration Charter, the Yellow Vests attacked Brussels. Thousands of them turned up and attacked the EU building. So it looks like this Yellow Vest Brigade is moving from France to elsewhere. We've also had manifestations of the Yellow Vests in Britain. We've had them in Canada. And I think they're going to continue in France. And we may well see Macron being forced to step down. And the real reason for it is because Macron said that he was a globalist. He supports globalism. You cannot have two masters. Either you serve your nation and your country, or you serve the EU and the New World Order and globalism. But you can't serve both. And if you're supposed to be there representing the people, you cannot be claiming that you're a globalist. You cannot be claiming that you're representing globalism. It's a fraud to claim that you are representing the people and then show allegiance to globalism. All these politicians that talk about globalism, they should be tried and hanged for treason against their own countries. That's what they're doing. And real props to the French for forcing Macron to actually come to the table and offer them some reparations. I noticed they're also calling for a stop to immigration. it really does seem that this is about the way that Macron is treating the French people. And it has to be because of his loyalties to globalism instead of to France. And other leaders of the world need to take note of what is happening. If they start putting the needs of the third world ahead of their countries and signing up to climate agreements where the money gets siphoned from their country into the third world, they need to be concerned that there may be an uprising in their country too. I don't think this is just going to be limited to France. I do think that that's what we're going to see in 2019 is the expansion of the yellow vests around the white world. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory. We'll be right back.